Ozarks Clean Water Company. Ozarks Clean Water Company is a not-for-profit sewer company formed under the state statutes, Section 393, that allow for not-for-profit sewer companies. We own, operate, maintain, and invoice customers for about 25 different sewer plants, some in Taney County, some in Stone County. The one we're talking about today is Savannah Heights and Savannah Place, north of Branson. All but two of those 20-some sewer plants, we do not own land. We own one piece of land in Stone County and then this piece of land here. We try not to own land. We try to do easements. So I didn't realize that I needed to talk to you guys about us being not-for-profit. We're not-for-profit with the state of Missouri, not-for-profit corporation, which those documents that they said were scanned in showing that. And we also have IRS status, 501c IRS status. And so all we're here today, I'm just asking that, and the plant was donated to us along with the land. The contract that has also been scanned in shows that we paid $10 for the plant and the land. That was just what they wrote in the contract. And also part of the contract to keep the sewer plant up to the current standards when they donated or gave it to us, they paid $30,000 to help us repair the plant and redo a lift station. So the final document that I had in there just showed that our expenses for the year were about $20,000 and our income was $18,000. So we don't want to do this all year long, but so far this year we've lost about $2,000 on the sewer plant, so we are nonprofit for sure.
Okay, that is the agreement of sale. So you
yes.
have the deed to that property then?
Yes.
Can you shrink it down a little bit? Can you make it a little bit bigger, Jim?
What subdivision does this sewer plant serve?
Savannah.
Savannah Place?
Which is
and Savannah Heights. It actually serves the new part of the subdivision that was put on called Savannah Heights and Savannah Place.
And your company provides the services for?
We own, operate, and maintain the sewer plant.
And do you have a contract with Savannah Heights Homeowners Association or someone, and you charge some rates or something? What do you charge them?
Each person, each home pays $32 a month for sewer services.
And how many homes are there?
At Savannah, we're billing right at 110, I believe.
Where is Savannah Heights?
Off the Bee Creek, off of, what's the next road? What's the one off of Bee Creek?
It's Reinhardt Road.
Reinhardt, off of Reinhardt.
Oh, okay, right.
$3,200 a month, then, if you collect them all.
Yes.
I think that's incidental. If there are non-profit organizations,
non-profit corporation does not make you tax exempt by itself. It's a requirement, but it's not enough. There needs to be more than that.
I stand corrected.
I'm sorry.
What else does it need, Bob?
Well, I've got my exemption sheet here. I'd rather read it, but. I provided each of you with one of these last year. Give me a minute if you could. I want to get to it. It has to fit within one of the categories, basically. You know, religious worship is one, charitable is another. I mean, most people try to fit within the charitable area, and they have to show that it, there's like a five-prong test. They have to show that it benefits an indefinite number of people. I don't know which exemption he's trying for. He says he's a not-for-profit, and that isn't enough. But what area is he trying to fit under as far as exemptions? There is no exemption called not-for-profit exemption.
As I said, I've only owned two pieces of property. For some reason in Stone County, when we became owners, I've never been invoiced. I thought it, I naively thought it was automatic. When I owned this property and got the tax bill, I called the assessor's office, and they told me that he would not automatically put me in tax exempt, but he felt that I would qualify, but I'd have to come before you. So I honestly didn't get notified that I needed to say I need to be in a certain exemption category.
In your organization, if you should turn this $2,000 loss into a profit, who gets that at the end of the year?
There's no profit. It would have to either go to operating reserve for when we have pumps break down or things break down. If we ever got into a situation where we had excess capital, we'd have to return it back to the members of the organization. It runs real similar to electric co-op.
You'd return it to the members?
Yes.
So profits are not devoted to a charitable objective. You actually give it back to the members. If there's a profit.
The members who take service in the non-for-profit company, yes.
Who are the members?
The people that have sewer service.
So they actually own this. I thought it...
Well, it's...
Do they own it, or are they just contracted with you?
They're members of...
So they own part...
Like an electric co-op. They're not going to be... If we have a loss, they're not going to be...
Anybody that you contract
responsible.
With... Anybody that you contract with becomes a member, is that correct?
Yes. Anybody takes services automatically become a member.
But you, as you are a lessee, basically.
No,
How do you operate your company under a LLC or whatever it is there without being a
501c12? Is what they
501c12.
Well, I'm not looking at it here. What I'm saying is you. With all the information you give us, and the money goes back to the owners, but you are the operators who determine if there is
a
profit or loss.
There's a three-pronged test for whether it's a charitable gets a charitable exemption or not under the Franciscan province of Missouri versus State Tax Commission. Basically, that it's operated on not-for-profit basis because the profits are devoted to a charitable objective, that the primary and inherent use of the property was for purposes purely charitable, and that they don't get any benefit from the property's use.
This may be bigger than what I know. I mean,
well, if the members that belong to it are basically owners, but yet the land is in somebody else's name. Like if it was a homeowners association that owned that land,
I would say that's dividends almost.
Yeah,
I mean, I could set up a park and a subdivision and do the same thing with members. I don't see how this becomes a charitable exemption.
Based off of what we know, based off our understanding, and that's the problem we've got.
What I'm looking at is this company under this name could sell out to somebody and sell their rights to that land and the sewer
and the business.
Yeah. No, under the statutes that allow state statutes that allow a not-for-profit sewer company to be formed, we cannot. We would have to, if we would ever dissolve, it has to go back to the original owners. In other words, if it have to either to back to the developer or property owners association.
Are you sell this non-profit?
Huh?
We've had this before. You sell the only way you can sell out is sell the two things that you mentioned or another non-profit.
Right.
That's the way the statute reads. We've had this come before.
And I don't want to get on this dividend. There will never be dividends because it'll either go into operating reserve, which right now we have very little because we're not making any money. We need operating reserve when big pumps go out, equipment goes out. If we would have surplus reserve, we would actually lower rates, not return money.
Let me ask, do you do anything for anybody other than your members? You provide services for your members only, is that correct?
Yes.
And the third prong of that test says, under the third guideline, property must benefit an indefinite number of people in society generally. An example of such humanitarian activities include the following: the operation of hospitals, which are open and available to rich and poor, a facility operated to provide employment and training for handicapped persons, and they go on to give examples. But you're saying that what you provide is services for your members, not for an indefinite number of people, but for your members.
That's true. Now, an indefinite number of people could become members, but yes, I mean, we're providing sewer services for the people who desire them. It's a voluntary basis. I mean, but I'm not here. You've got to tell me if I fit the law or not. I'm not trying to.
Well,
I just thought that because we're nonprofit, we would be exempt.
Does your company do other subdivisions in other locations?
They just own the land. They don't own the land, though.
Yeah, only one other place do we own the land. Every other place, we just have an easement to operate our facilities.
But you're nonprofit in those places, too.
Oh, yes. Everywhere.
And again, not-for-profit doesn't make you tax exempt.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is it may be best that I'm leaning toward denying just so he can go to the state tax commission and get clarification.
That's what I would agree with.
What happens if we deny your appeal? You can go to the state tax commission. They would have a ruling that we could then adhere to. This is kind of a gray area of my ability to make a decision in the next.
There's not a filing fee or anything.
They just
come right down here to our county, so you just come in.
It may make it easier. So I'm going to make a motion to deny the request.
I'll second it.
Just because I'm unsure, based off this one court case, that it could or could not be charitable. So,
if you and Bob can explain more about the way that takes place. I mean, you don't come before a board like this. You come before an individual with Bob. Usually sets in on those, don't you, Bob?
I'll be on the other side. You'll just say what the facts are, and
yeah.
I won't have a lot to say. I mean, on this case, the guy's he's either going to find that you're exempt or not exempt, if you get that far. I don't know how the board's going
to
vote.
You don't go to Jeff's or anything.
No, they come down here.
They send in an examiner down here. Ashmore's a judge to actually determine what.
To possibly save time, could we not make a phone call? State Tax Commission heard this before, you reckon?
I don't think they're going to want to rule.
They're not going to rule over the phone.
They'll rule on appeals from the BOE. I mean, if this weren't a case before us, they might talk to us.
But since it,
I mean, how do they hear it after they tell us how to go? They couldn't hear the appeal.
Right.
Well, my thought was if they've heard these kind of cases before, they've got a standard that they go by and. Just saves everybody time.
I was kind of citing one of their.
That's what I'm saying. One of them says that under this one that Bob pulled out, that one, it says that you're not a non-for-profit in this operation.
Okay.
So if I was to do that, their previous is say it's you're not. That's why I was going to say.
Do you have any problem with that, sir?
No, I'm just here to
right.
I understand
get a ruling. Oh, yes.
I understand. Yeah. I appreciate your.
And the clerk's office.
Yeah.
I call for the vote.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Jim, aye.
Dave, aye.
Chuck, aye.
Danny, aye.
Bob, aye. 5-0. The clerk's office will help you get in touch, find out when that, and we recommend that you go to them and present the case.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
See you, Dave.
Thank you, sir.
I'm going to excuse myself.
Yes, sir. See you. Cindy, you're gonna call it.
This next one should be real easy.
This is not the win.
In 5 more minutes.
Are they all the same?
Aren't they all the same?
Yeah, they're all the same. Basically, the next one is a community improvement district that holds property, and a community improvement district can either be formed as a not-for-profit corporation or as a political subdivision, and. I would have advised you to require more information if they were not for profit, just like I did with this gentleman, to show that they were charitable. But they formed as a political subdivision rather than as a not for profit corporation. And I can cite to you that it says property owned by the state, counties, and other political subdivisions is also exempt regardless of the property's use. political subdivisions enjoy an exemption on property they own and lease to private owners. Now, since I didn't know whether they formed as a not-for-profit or as a political subdivision, I asked him to bring to send additional information, and I believe Cindy has got that on the overhead for you, where he sent the court documents that showed how they formed, and I have a copy right here. I believe it's actually page 2 of the document under paragraph Roman numeral 3, governance of district. It says A, type of district. It says the district shall be a separate political subdivision and shall have all...
Further down. Go ahead.
Roman numeral number 3.
Number 3. Going down. There we go.
Okay, right there in paragraph A, you can see that they formed as a political subdivision, not as a not-for-profit. And the law says that a political subdivision, and it doesn't distinguish between municipalities, counties, or TDDs, or TIF districts, or CIDs. In fact, the question has come up whether we charge to collect the taxes and other things for CIDs.
So you're saying we should reduce it to zero? Is that correct?
They're tax exempt as a political subdivision.
So all four cases are tax exempt because of their formation as a political subdivision.
And I'd like to add something that, you know, when he sent these four applications in, along with the letters citing the four parcels that he's saying should be exempt, that was fine. And then after that, I received notification from Donna and Sheila Wyatt about another parcel that's also owned by Branson Hills Community Improvement District. That also should be exempt, but he doesn't reference that.
Well, we shouldn't bring it up then. It's up to him.
It's up to him, right.
All right.
Now, this is the same, in other words, as, say, Branson being
well,
separate.
Maybe it is up. I'm sorry. Maybe it is up to us.
This is the same as, like, Branson is a separate political, and therefore we cannot tax.
Yeah, we're not going to tax the land that Branson City Hall's on.
So should we bring that up or not? I mean, part of our Board of Equalization rules we brought up yesterday is it's similar values to be set, correct?
Yeah, we're supposed to equalize and do the correct thing, so we probably...
We need to bring that one up.
We need to call him and ask if he wants that one brought up and ask if it's owned by...
Can you create it? Do you have a case number on that one yet or not?
No, I don't have a case number.
Why don't you just bring it back up? Our policy has been open an application and then we'll vote on it. That's what our policy has been. But why don't we... Why don't you help him along to bring that up? Do we need to call the gentleman or just to say
we need to
call him and then make the motion or just make the motion and then call him?
Whatever you want to do, you can.
Can guys, is it inappropriate for me to go ahead and make the motion to save time?
Let's just do it and call him.
All right. Help me with the wording, Bob. I make a motion to classify BOE numbers 600024, 25, 26, and 27 to be exempt.
As political subdivisions.
As political subdivisions.
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Jim, aye.
Dave, aye.
Chuck, aye.
Bob, aye.
All right, so he's now zero.
Danny's absent, so vote is 4-0.
And Cindy, I think you could probably just call him on the side and just say we've done the change, and
okay.
That way he doesn't have to be on the web or anything like
then,
that.
I will also then, when I have him on the phone, telling him why we didn't call.
Right.
I'll ask him about this other question.
That'd be great.
Okay.
Do we have next week's schedule? We have nothing tomorrow, correct?
It's close. Well, I'll get it to you by tomorrow.
What time? I guess when's our next day?
Tuesdays and Thursdays. From here on out, just Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Starting at 9 o'clock.
We had decided that first meeting was just this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday thereafter, just Tuesdays and Thursdays.
And the scheduling looks pretty full?
Okay. Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we'd Tuesday through Friday every day.
No.
Yeah. We had something
we did have something tomorrow. That was to vote on stuff.
The discussion was to leave Friday mornings open for decisions, but that's not the way it's gone.
Made the decision.
I can tell you that we'll probably need to come up with who we're going to refer those two tabled items. We'll probably have to come up with some names, and so next Tuesday we can kind of discuss it. So if you can make sure we have at least 15 minutes to discuss the table, there's two table items and who we're going to refer those cases to do the...
So Tuesday and Thursday of next week.
Starting at 9, and you want us here at 8:45?
Yeah.
8:30?
Let me check, and I'll let you know when I send you out this way.
Okay.
Say it now.
Say it now. It'd help us now.
At least 15 minutes before the approved
time. Let's say 8:45.
But I can't remember. I don't know exactly what time the first one is for.
You'll just have to let us know then. Okay.
As far as your books now, do you want us to pull out everything that has been voted on and put it in a separate... thing for you.
Get a new one?
And then load it with next week's.
Is this what we've heard this week?
This is what you have heard this week.
Wow.
The only thing that should probably be, if you were to have already pulled out your stuff, the only thing that should be left is that Cheryl all over.
Can you just have a separate book? Because I have written notes that I may want to come back to.
Okay.
And keep it close.
You know those expandable things? I was thinking of pulling everything out of your book and putting all your stuff in one of those with your name on it.
And just throwing it here for research?
If you need it.
Okay. That would be wonderful.
So all this stuff we could leave here and you'd put that in that folder?
Put it in that folder. Because I've got all this stuff I want to keep in here.
Yeah, I want to keep every bit of this too. Okay. So. Okay.
All right. Well, then I'll ask for recess.
So ordered. Meeting adjourned.